Thanks for joining us once again on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Dr. Dobson, this week of programming here on Family Talk is especially meaningful to all of us as we focus on the sanctity of all human life.
Well, it's one of the core principles of this ministry, Luann, and it always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man was created in the image of God, and therefore his very existence has intrinsic value. All of life is sacred and precious and worthy of dignity. As churches and organizations throughout the month of January focus on this issue, let's all join together in prayer that we will see an end to abortion in our lifetime.
Amen.
I believe that's possible. Mm. And the country is moving in the direction of life, which is a good thing. And I believe that it's possible that if God's people commit themselves to prayer and to promoting a culture of life, we could see this miracle occur.
And we will continue to proclaim that here on Family Talk. As a way of highlighting that commitment, we're re-airing a conversation we had with two people who have a very personal connection to this issue.
Well, Senator Rick and Karen Santorum were with us shortly before Christmas, and they had so much to share about their own journey as a family and how those experiences and their faith have shaped their passion for life and for those who have special needs, and they do have a child with special needs. I'm so pleased that we can once again bring this to our listeners during Sanctity of Human Life Week.
Well, Senator Santorum was here in the studio with us while his wife Karen joined by phone. She had actually planned to come here with her husband, but their daughter Bella, who has trisomy 18, was homesick, so of course we understand that she stayed there with her. We will actually hear more about Bella in a moment. For those who don't know, Senator Santorum served our country first in the U.S. House of Representatives and then in the United States Senate until 2007, representing Pennsylvania. Here now on this Family Talk broadcast is our discussion with Senator Rick and Mrs. Karen Santorum.
Well, with that, let me just say welcome, Senator Rick Santorum and Karen Santorum. It is so good to have you here. Karen, one of these days we're going to get you in the studio in person.
I would love that.
We've done it in the past, and we will do it again. But, Rick, it's so good to have you join us, too, as busy as you are at this time, especially.
Always a blessing to be with you in beautiful Colorado Springs. Mm-hmm. No, it's never bad to come out here in this beautiful area of the country.
Well, we'll keep the red carpet out for you. At the end of the program last time, I was about to air a recording that was made during the presidential debate that took place in Des Moines, Iowa, and we simply didn't have enough time left in the program to let our listeners hear it, and we didn't want to break it into two pieces. And so we'd like to start the program now with what you had to say about your little girl, your three-year-old, your youngest, Bella, who has trisomy 18, which is a disability much like Down syndrome. And, of course, she's mentally disabled, and yet you love her like everything. She's been a joy to your family. We talked about that last time. And we have gotten permission from Focus on the Family, which recorded it, and they have allowed us to let our listeners hear those 5 or 6 minutes. But if it's okay with you, and Karen, if it's all right with you, I would like to share that 5-minute clip at this time. Is that all right?
It is. It was in a response to a question as to, you know, what things do you regret in your life that you'd like to share with the audience, and a more personal moment, and this is what I said.
All right.
You know, I was the author of the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act, and was remember being on the floor many, many nights talking about all of these children who were disabled, who were the target of partial birth abortions, children who were found late in pregnancy to have a problem, and mothers wanted to have a late-term abortion. And I would go on for hours and hours and hours and talk about the courage that parents would have to fight just so their children could be born. After I left the United States Senate, Karen and I were blessed with another child. We had been trying for a long time. Now, I know with six children, you think you're trying for a long time after six. We had. Right toward the end of the pregnancy, we found that there might be some problems. So, long story short, Karen had delivered our baby, Isabella Maria, early. They immediately took her to the ICU and did some testing. 4 or 5 days later, they told us that she had a fatal condition. She was going to die. She had a condition called trisomy 18, which is like Down syndrome. Trisomy 21 is Down syndrome. It's trisomy 18, which is far worse. They said she's lucky to be alive. Only a 10% survival rate at birth. And of the children that survive, 90% die in the first year, most in the first few weeks or months. Well, we decided to do everything we could. She was our daughter. We were going to help her. And she did well. She sailed through the NICU, and after 10 days, we decided there's nothing more they could do for her, so we took her home. Never forget, the pediatrician is doing the exit interview with us. Kept saying to us, you know, you realize your child's going to die. And they say, we have the internet. Yes, we know all about this disorder. And she talked about how there would probably be a lung problem. She would probably die because of respiratory failure. And so Karen suggested that we should maybe have a prescription for oxygen if she needed some help. The doctor looked at her and said, you have to learn to let go. I said, all we're asking for is oxygen. And he said the same thing to me. Well, then Mama Bear stood up. And so after we got the prescription for oxygen, we left and went home. We went home on hospice care. Little Bella did amazingly well for the first few months, but then she got a cold. She got sick. And that's a killer for children like this. And it was for her in the sense that she quickly went downhill, and before we knew it, her heart had stopped, she had stopped breathing. Karen was able to do CPR. We got her to the emergency room. She did okay. She came back, but then a couple months later, she had the same thing happen. And this time, I was home holding her when it happened. I'll never forget seeing her fail, not being able to breathe. We had a monitor on her. She finally stopped breathing, and I put her on the bed, and I tried to do everything I could to try to get her to start breathing again. The next thing I know, Karen comes knocking me out of the way with an Ambu bag and does CPR, and she comes back again. We went to the hospital and with the emergency room. And there she is laying on the table. She's about 5 months old. And she has her hand out on the emergency room gurney. And I went over and I reached out and held her finger. For the 5 months leading up to this, I had been the rock in the house. I was the guy that held everything together. Karen would always ask, how can you be so? I said, well, you know, this is how I deal with things. And it was a lie. It was a lie. I decided that the best thing I could do was to treat her differently, to not love her like I did, because it wouldn't hurt as much if I lost her. I remember holding that finger, looking at her, and realizing what I'd done. I had been exactly what I had said that I had fought against at the partial birth abortion. I had seen her as less of a person because of her disability. And I prayed that moment, please, please let her live. I'll do everything to commit to her, and not just her, but to every child like her. She made it. remember walking out of the emergency room and I got a phone call from my 13-year-old daughter. Now she was 10 at the time. And she said, "Is Bella all right?" I said, "She's doing fine. She's hanging in there." She said, "Dad, Mama saved Bella's life." I said, "Yeah, I know." And she said, "Dad, you didn't do anything."
Rick, how in the world did you get through that?
Well, you can see I had a hard time getting through it, and I didn't. It was hard getting through. It was hard, really, articulating exactly how I was feeling. I was just trying to be honest that you know, we in with respect to Bella, you know, I loved her, but I didn't love her unconditionally. I held back that little bit just.
Well, that's
because
to protect yourself.
To protect.
That's a natural reaction.
I'd been through it. I'd lost a son. And I held Gabriel when he died. And I said, I just don't want to go through that again. And maybe if I just hold back a little, that'll be easier. And what I realized at that moment is that it would have been the worst thing that I could have ever done. That I would have never been able to live with myself if I haven't given her everything that I could.
May I ask or suggest that it wasn't that you didn't love her enough. It's that you loved her too much. You loved her so much that you couldn't stand the thought of letting her go. And therefore, you protected yourself from the pain of that loss. I don't know if that makes sense, but it somehow does to me.
It's just, as you can hear, I mean, just, you know, even contemplating loss.
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, that she's not, you know, she's not going to be with us as long as the other children. Yeah. I mean, we know that, but yet we live every day. I mean, you talk about a teacher. We live every day more fully because of her, because of the preciousness of every day we have with her.
Karen, weigh in on this.
Well, I think it's interesting. Looking back on it, it was really hard for me. As husband and wife, you deal with it very differently. And grief is funny like that. And we learn deep lessons about gut-wrenching honesty in our relationship with each other. And in the process, we went even deeper, you know, lived even deeper the mystery which lies at the heart of love. And, you know, we've held tight together, and we thank God we have a great marriage. When looking back on it, I now realize that maybe God kept Rick strong because I was drowning in a dark abyss. At that time, especially when she was in the NICU, I just was in the depths of despair, and Rick was strong, and God knew that. He knew that he had to be a pillar of strength for the family, and he brought the kids in and out every day and brought them out for ice cream and for lunch. And I remember just scenes in the hospital room where two kids would be asleep on his lap and two of them would be in bed with me and two more on chairs, and we kept constant vigil at Bella's bedside. We never left her. And so while I was just dying of heartbreak, you know, Rick held it together. And I thank God for that, because that was a gift to our family. When you have six other kids, someone has to be strong and be holding it together, because I surely wasn't during that time, and that I think was a gift God gave us.
Rick, the IRS will not allow me to ask you questions about how the presidential campaign is coming and things of that nature, so we're not going to get anywhere near the political issues. But I can ask you how you feel about the exhaustion and the constant pressure and the media in your face and all that it means to pay the price for the responsibility you're reaching for.
Well, I just feel blessed to have the opportunity to be able to go out and speak the truth and do so as someone who's not the favorite, not expected to win, but went out there to witness. And I really believe that you know, we need folks who are willing to stand up and and just speak the truth and take, you know, the consequences. You know, I have several favorite Bible passages that talk about that they will hate you and that they will call your name evil because of standing up for the Son of Man. And That is a great comfort to me that this is part of standing up for him and doing the part as being a Christian.
You know, I think of what Tim Tebow must be going through now. If you dare utter the name of Christ, you can talk about God every now and then, but if you dare to mention the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to be reviled and rejected and mocked and made fun of. Would they rather Tim would be buying drugs on a street corner? Would they rather he would have 8 women in the course of a year or in the course of a month? I mean, those things go on in professional athletics. And you got this man kneeling and saying, thank you, Lord. And when they ask him how he is doing or how he felt about winning a game, he deflects it. He talks about his teammates and his coaches. And they hate him for it. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if you haven't had a little bit of that.
Well, certainly not on the scale that the last week or so that Tim Tebow has, but he's a great inspiration to me and I think to many, many others. And it's sort of sad that we have a society that wants our heroes to be broken.
Mm-hmm. But they
Maybe that makes us feel better.
Yeah.
But you know what they don't know? And what's so beautiful about our Christian faith is how when we know Jesus Christ loves us and there is joy. We go through life, no matter what the ups and downs are, no matter what the crosses are, the challenges, there is a joy in our lives that you can't put, you know, people don't, who aren't Christian, they don't understand it. So we go through life with this beautiful joy because we know he loves us and how much he loves us.
And it is just so rare to see an individual stand up with deep conviction like Tim Tebow. I just think of you, Mrs. Santorum, and Senator here. I would imagine that this decision to run for the presidency, it really is a family decision, is birthed out of those deep, deep convictions. Is that right?
100%. We prayed, Rick, for about a year about this. Prayed deeply for about a year, had many talks with the children. Some of them were hilarious, actually. Some of the things that they said, you know, Dad, you can't run for president because you won't be able to coach Little League Baseball. And
that is something to consider.
It's true. I had a winning season my last year I coached this, which undefeated.
Ask, how as a family do you handle that? Because you do get made fun of. They do say things that aren't true about you. Your kids are going to go back to college, and there will be some kids that assume that the things they said that aren't true are true. They've got to deal with that. So as a family, how do you protect yourselves? How do you put the shield around the whole family to get through these seasons?
You know, I've always loved Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 20, we put on the armor of God, and every day you think of that, and you know, you put on the armor of God, you've got that shield of protection around you, you know you're surrounded by his love and angels, and with that, and you keep your prayer life in order, you've got the strength to do anything, and it's amazing. People keep asking me, how are you doing? This must be so hard, and I say, you know what's amazing? It's truly miraculous. My family life is going really well. There's a joy and peace in my home that's truly divine. It's not coming from me because I'm stressed and I don't like seeing the articles. And it's God takes such good care of us. There's a hurricane out there, but he keeps my family in the eye of that hurricane. I always say when he sets you out on a journey, he will never abandon you. And it's been such a blessing.
Karen's right. It's you wrap yourself in prayer. And I just have to say to everybody out there praying for Karen and for me and our family and frankly for hopefully for all those in public life, it is how we get through this. It is supernatural, as Karen suggested. And so all those prayers, you may think, well, why am I doing this? You know, I know that God tells me to do it. I'm supposed to pray for our leaders. But he does so for a reason. It is efficacious. And I just want to thank you. And obviously thank God for holding us up.
Rick, you were in the Senate for 12 years. You were in the House for two terms. And some of the legislation that you championed there was really historic. I think of the landmark Welfare Reform Act and especially the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. That one means a lot to me. Explain what it says.
Yeah, that said that a child who is born as a result of a botched abortion has a right to life and has a right to appropriate medical care. And it draws that very clear line that that just because someone goes in to have an abortion doesn't mean they have a right to a dead child if that child survives that abortion. And believe it or not, there was only one person I'm aware of in any legislature around the country, because this bill was passed in different legislatures, who actually opposed that bill, and that was our president. And he actually spoke out and said that any child that is born before term, before 40 weeks gestation, is eligible to be killed. If not, then it would be a violation of Roe versus Wade. And I'm not even talking, he wasn't even talking about abortions. He was talking about any child that would be born prior to 40 weeks. I mean, this is the kind of just unsettling, degrading of our respect for human life that we see in the political arena. And it's one of the reasons I felt compelled to get out there, and because everything is so focused on economics and jobs, and it's, of course, important. But this country is a great country because we were blessed by God, and that we are a country that lived according to His principles and His teachings. And we walk away from that. There are dire consequences to our society, and they are going to be manifest in very many ways. Mm. Not just in moral ways.
Well, your debate on the floor of the Senate, which we aired here several months ago, where Barbara Boxer said that a child is not a child until taken home from the hospital. If that doesn't illustrate it all, I mean, that just takes my breath away to this moment. But you stood firm there. And I thank you for it.
Me too.
Thank you. And it's, as you've said, it's a blessing to be able to stand up and fight for truth and fight for the causes that we know are in the best interest of our society and staying in within the keeping of His teachings.
Karen, hearing this discussion again. Considering how you feel about not only your children but all children, does that break your heart?
It breaks my heart, because where do we draw the line? You know, you love unconditionally, and you never lose with love. And the love of Christ, especially when it's in our hearts, life is better. And I guess when I talk about drawing the line, it's a worry, because, you know, if you say we're going to accept certain burdens, but we're not going to accept others, and we're quickly on that slippery slope, and then are we going to be aborting kids who maybe someday will have chronic ear infections? I mean, it's just so there is a sadness when you hear things like that. I believe we can do better.
Well, our time is gone again. My goodness. These two programs are what we call classics.
Yes.
These are programs that will endure long after the presidential contest is over. And regardless of the outcome, Rick and Karen, our prayers are with you.
Yes. Thank you.
Asking the Lord to protect you and be with you. There are those that hate you, and there are those that would probably like to hurt you. But God is in control, and may His will be done.
Thank you, Dr. Dawson.
I really do love the two of you.
I'm
grateful for you, and I think you would agree that your wife Karen is precious too, Rick.
Oh.
You've been married for 21 years, and I think it's going to work, right?
Yeah, I think it's taken.
Blessings to you all, Rick. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Dr. Dawson. Thank you, Ryan, and thank you, Luann. God bless you all. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Bella.
And I can tell you that every one of us have been lifting up little Bella in prayer ever since we first visited with the Santorums right before the Christmas holiday. We are pleased to announce that she's doing much better, but I know that this family would appreciate your prayers for her continued good health. Now, we've brought this conversation back to you again here in January because we are focusing all this week on the sanctity of human life. But If this conversation has hit you on a very personal level, we definitely want to hear from you. You may be someone who has experienced that pain of infertility or miscarriage, or perhaps right now you are even drowning in the challenges of raising a special needs child. For those of you struggling in those areas, we would love to have you reach out to us here at Family Talk. It would be an honor to speak with you, pray with you, perhaps even help you find a counselor in your area that you could follow up with. You can reach us at this phone number. Write it down. 877-732-6825. Again, 877-732-6825. Or connect with us at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks so much for listening in today, and please return and join us tomorrow as we continue this special emphasis on the sanctity of human life right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.